Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Joe Montone, founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And here is your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. It's great to be back here. Thank you, Kathy, for helping us with the programming this morning. And I just want to take a moment to thank Dale and Jane for supporting the broadcast. And my friends, we have a wonderful show for you today. We have three speakers coming to you on the show Finding God in Prison this morning. We'll have Eugene Whitaker, who will be talking to us about his story, his life story, where he's been, where he's at, and where he's going. And also at 10:25, we'll have Jason Martino joining us and his story of addiction and incarceration and how he has really moved forward from the majority of that and getting stronger each and every day. And then we'll be talking with Officer John Yeager at 10:45 a.m. and talking about the WINGS Men program in the high schools in Lower Bucks County and the good work that we've been doing. And I just want to take a moment to let you know that this show is dedicated today to Ashley Nickerson, a 14-year-old girl who was killed after being run down in the streets of Philadelphia. The results of a 90-mile-an-hour car chase, Ashley was with a friend crossing the street going to rent a video. The man who ran her down was fleeing from the police and was eventually caught. He served 7 years and was then released. 4 years after being discharged, Ashley's mother, Diane Nickerson, has forgiven this man and wants to help him. So she referred him to the WINGS program. In the future, with God's help, he will be a guest on our program and in the WINGS Men program in the high schools in Bucks County. A tremendous story, really, of tragedy and how God can bring good out of bad. You know, this man who actually was driving that vehicle that killed Ashley served 7 years. Once again, majority of that time was in isolation. He's been free for the last 3.5 to 4 years. And now is on the outside, and we would like to, have him with us in the WINGS program, and we're working on that. And that's the kind of thing we have each and every day, my friends, in our program. We have a tremendous, extensively been working in the prisons in the state of Pennsylvania and in New Jersey. We're heavily now in the Philadelphia prison system, but we have hundreds of men both in and outside prison walls. Just to remind you, you know, the WINGS program, which stands for Winning Ideas, Nurturing Growth and Success, was founded by myself 23 years ago, and it's a character building program. But today we have, a tremendous diversity of the program within prisons and recovery homes. We're also in homeless shelters and in high schools. And so we're working hard to help men to reengage in business, family life, community service, to grow spiritually is a tremendous goal for us, to help the men to grow and maybe for the first time in their life to line up with what God says to do and what he says not to do. I want to take a moment to thank the Charitable Exchange that helps select nonprofit organizations to focus on charitable works while they raise money through the TCA Secure website. And the Charitable Exchange guarantees 100% of your donations made through the website will go to the donor's selected charity. And business and operational expenses are managed through separate TCE private funding. So if you'd like to make a donation to assist us, please go to www.thecharitableexchange.org. Again, www.thecharitableexchange.org. And you can go there and then scroll down to My Father's Vineyard. You can also make a donation there to Holy Spirit Radio and other selected charities of your desire. So please do that and help us to, you know, continue our good work in reentry and recovery and the radio work we're doing. And so, my friends, while we're waiting for Eugene Whitaker to give us a call, I want to just let you know that we have an upcoming pilgrimage to the EWTN network in Birmingham, Alabama. Monday through Thursday, August 17th to the 20th, 2015. This is a pilgrimage. Actually, it's number 29 down in Mother's Home. And the trip includes a tour of the EWTN studio in Irondale and being in the audience for a taping of the show Threshold of Hope, hosted by Father Mitch Pacwa. We'll also tour the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Cave, the Castle San Miguel, the Lord's Grotto, the Benedictine Monastery, and the Ave Maria Grotto. The trip includes daily mass, private ground transportation, a three-nights lodging at the St. Bernard Retreat Center, breakfast daily, two lunches, all tours, and a private tour guide with point-to-point pickup and drop-off service everywhere. So if you're interested in that trip, again, Monday through Thursday, August 17th to the 20th, 2015, give us a call, 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. It's a great opportunity during the month of August to take a spiritual journey down to Irondale and Hansville, Alabama, and have some interaction with the priest and the people who really support EWTN and put it all together. You know, here at Holy Spirit Radio, we are an affiliate station, and I just want to remind our guests that the Holy Spirit Radio is one of 400 affiliate stations doing tremendous work and putting the love of God, the peace of God, into the hearts and minds of other people through the radio waves. And so I also want to just give you a little bit of an update on what we've been doing in reentry and recovery. Actually, at this time, we are halfway through two classes within the Philadelphia prison system. We have a graduation scheduled for June 29, 2015, and a minimum of 20 men will graduate on that day from one facility, and maybe six at the other one. And we'll be working hard to finish up the program. We have actually eight sessions. Remember, the WINGS program is a 50-hour program, runs for 10 weeks. There are 20 sessions. And we have a tremendous interaction with the writing assignments and just a lot of very good you know, things going on to build character, to help men to reengage in business, family life, community service through an action plan. We're helping them to find work in 3 to 30 days and to write letters of apology, letters of appreciation, letters of forgiveness, thank you letters to their family members, trying to get that relationship reconciled. Many of the men suffer from that separation between family because of incarceration, and it's our job to get them healthy enough and back in the game of life once again. And so we are working hard to do that. We literally have hundreds of men now on the outside at the recovery homes and the homeless shelters that we're going into, and we've been you know, working hard with them as well down at Drexel University every Saturday morning. I want to thank all the men who've been coming down to us and joining us each and every Saturday. It's been a privilege and a pleasure to be with you. And I know that Eugene Whitaker is on the line. Eugene, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Joe Martone. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Eugene, and thanks for calling in today. You know, it's great to hear your voice again, and you know, God bless you. I just saw you yesterday, actually, in court. We were both in court for different reasons, and the courtroom was packed. It was an amazing thing to see you there. You look great. You know, you're really, you know, a personal friend of mine, and I really appreciate you calling in today and willing to share your testimony. So, Eugene, welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. If you can, I'd like you to just give our folks, our listeners, just a little bit of a thumbnail sketch on where you were in your early days and how you basically, you know, lived your life early on. And if you can bring us up to date today, what you're doing with your employment and where you intend on going in your life.
wow, Joe Montone. Good morning, everyone. My name is Eugene Lamont Shabaka Whitaker. I'm 49 years old. Today I'm a graphic artist, merchant, and motivational speaker, but in my early days, I was considered what one would call a public terror. I once heard a wise man say that life is based on the many choices and many decisions you make in life. And these choices and decisions have consequences. I had my circle of influence. I'm going to start out with my mother once told me. She once told me, she said, son, show me your friends, and I'll tell you who you are. I never considered that my friends and companions can provide a mirror image of who I was and what I can become. Until I got older and I had daughters of my own. And now I want to watch their circle of friends, their circle of influence. So as I look back on myself in the life and my childhood, my circle of friends or my circle of influence was so-called trying to teach me how to be hip and cool. I thought being hip and cool was what it took to survive in the street. I didn't know that it was life beyond the streets. So I became a follower instead of a leader. My role models was those who was into that lifestyle where they were basically some sexy individuals. We had a game as a kid called Follow the Leader. As I got older, I began to follow the leader even more. I thought it was cool. I was taught things to be cool. Like, I thought it was cool to travel on the subway, and while the train is doing 180 miles an hour, it seems, to walk from one car for the train to the next car while the train is in motion, not thinking that a certain joke or a certain stop would cause me to fall between the tracks and be crushed for life. I thought it was cool to hang out on the corners and talk about people, talk about materialism, drink 40 ounces of beer, cut school, get into exaggerated, foolish violence, unnecessary violence that would cause me in the long run to go to prison. I took a look at going to prison. I thought it was cool to go to prison because my circle of friends taught me that going to prison was like a rite of passage. And to go to prison and then to survive in prison was even more so of an honor. You know, and now that I look back today, it seems like more people today, it's more, a man has a better chance of going to prison today than they do going to college. You know, and what we was taught that was corny or fake, like going to school, getting education, and so forth and so forth, was frowned upon. But now as I get older, I begin to see, like, what I thought was cool and hip, I wasn't being cool. I was actually being a fool. You know, I had wasted so much of my time going in and out of prison, in and out of prison. I have accumulated over 50 arrests, contact with the police, 11 convictions and 7 prison sentences. I must have wasted about 15 of my valuable years of my life going in and out of prison, 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 based off the people I was surrounded around, the choices I made, and the decisions I made. And one thing I've learned is that there are no guarantees in life besides death, and the other guarantee in life is that you will pay for your actions. You will pay for your actions. That's something that I've come to learn, and that's what I've done. I paid for my actions. And I was just reading something this morning where it said, God told man, I will love you unconditionally no matter what you do. God said, I will love you unconditionally no matter what you do. But if you allow me to show you, I can show you peace, I can show you joy, I can show you life. All you have to do is follow my example. However, God tells you this, I will not make you choose my way of life, but you are forewarned. You are forewarned. You will go your own way. You can go your own way and choose your life, but there are consequences. There are consequences. And those consequences are based on the choices that you make. And I look back and I see how a lot of people are losing faith. You know, a lot of people are losing faith. And there's an unwritten law, man. Like, whenever you do something wrong, like, you don't have to always go to the Bible or the Quran or some type of religious book. Like, there's something innately in man. That when you do something wrong, there's an unwritten law that says, you know what you did wasn't cool. This is the law that man has laid down, or God has laid down in man to regulate human behavior between man and man, and man and nature is wrong. It's like innately in you. You know, you can go inside yourself and find out and rid yourself of all the negativity and unnecessary harm you've done to yourself and present it in the reality of your world. But that goes back to what you told me, Joe Montone, the people you surrounded around, your circle of influence. You know, if a child spends 4 and 5 hours a day, which I was doing at the time, listening to rap music and watching negative television shows, then the quality of that rap music and the substance of those TV shows become the substance of your mind. And whatever your person solely positive in their mind is what they're going to reap from their mind. Just like what you eat is what you're going to throw up. So if you are surrounded around people who are trying to be successful and who are trying to make a path to better their life, what are your chances of being a failure? If you're surrounded around people who are constantly going in and out of jail and preying on other people, what are your chances of being successful? So it's all about the people that you surround yourself around. There are a lot of intelligent people in jail. You know, when people think of intelligent people, they think of Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and Nelson Mandela. They're intelligent men. But you got other men who haven't even been mentioned, like right now as we speak, who's working in the law library in jail, who's motivating people right now. I was speaking to children in the jail as far as they was bringing them to treatment court to talk to mentoring youth who was coming in through the criminal justice system, first-time offenders. I was involved with Acadian University for an inside-out program, and we talked about how we can improve the criminal justice system. People who are in there right now developing parenting skills, life skills, the JEBS program, different drug programs, like people who are in there trying to better their life. Everybody in jail are not just laying around being lazy, being trifling, or trying to come out and do the same thing they're trying to do. You got some people are in there and like they can change. I always say like everything starts from a cell. Life starts from a cell, be it a plant cell, animal cell, human cell, or jail cell. And for a jail cell, for me, that's what I felt my motivation in this last time around to like, I got to do something different. I want to do something different. So connecting with my, creating a team. Yeah. I had a team of negativity, a team of violent individuals. And all we did was run the street like crazy mobs, accumulating fast and filthy money, stack after stack, and smoking crack and doing this and doing that. And all it did was get me in jail time and time again. Now I'm surrounded by people like you, Joe Montone. I went to see my judge yesterday, and I bumped into you in court to go see my judge because I want to get photographs or portraits I've done for my judge.
Right. I want to jump in there if I can on that, Eugene. And it's excellent, background you've given us. And we did see you yesterday in court. I know you were there to talk to your judge. You've done several portraits for the judge, and he paid you for them. You weren't there for anything else except for really to develop that relationship with him and your artwork. But I want to go back to when we met. You actually started in a WINGS program August 15th, 2011.
Yes.
And you graduated the WINGS program November 4th, 2011.
Yes.
And I have the sheet that you filled out, the questionnaire seminar start sheet. And the question is, you know, why did you enroll in the WINGS program? And your answer, to do something positive with my time here at the House of Corrections. And what do you expect to get out of this program? You wrote knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And what topic within the program are you most interested in and why? You wrote business plans, self-employment, because America has moved from an agricultural to an industrial to a technological future. And there's really good jobs, no good jobs available. I wish to become an employer, not employee. Okay, so I want you to take us back. And, you know, we met quite a while ago, and now you've been out for at least a couple of years, 2 years or better, and you've been working on the, on your artwork and quite a few different opportunities. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the work you've been doing and actually how God, you know, helped to change and form the work that you do today? Because I know inside the prison, you did a mural, all four walls, and in one cell that was pretty pretty extensively, based on, the kingdom of God, truly. So can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. I didn't know you still had that paperwork going all the way back those years. To briefly touch on the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. I really believe that the knowledge is the foundation of all things. Wisdom is the manifestation of knowledge. And understanding is very, very important because it balances the knowledge and the wisdom. When I spoke about, I started doing, research on, what's being taught in schools and what's being taught today is you go to school, get an education so that you can find a decent job. That was cool and all right when America was in this agriculture and industrial stage. Now America is moving towards a technological future. So now the children I feel are being taught an outdated, outmoded philosophy. Because when America's in this agriculture industrial stage, yes, you can go to school, get a job, and get an education, get a job. But there's no jobs available now. And if you do get a job, you're getting just enough to get by. You're living from paycheck to paycheck. So now I'm to the point to where we have to implement in this technological advancement stage, people need to be taught to go to school, get that education so you can start your own business. Or start something creative. Or have, create a business on the side. So what I'm doing now, from my experience in jail, there were always people who needed artwork. I did letterheads, I did envelopes, I did t-shirts, I painted people's sneakers, and every Friday or commissary day, I set up like a little stand. The guards would do a tour, and the guards would look down like, man, this looks like 48th and Market, you know, and the guards would hang out in front of my cell. And in the process of doing that, accumulating a little tips and just can't get cash money. So if I accumulate about $60, $70, $80 worth of commissary every week, and then the $80 are a bunch of nutty bars and Swiss rolls, I'll put that out 2-for-1. And then on top of that, I'll go out and ask the block rep and the different barbers that you can invest. And people are coming to invest. And I guarantee you double your money back by next week. And you didn't have to, don't worry about nobody not paying me because I had the other income coming in from the artwork. I guarantee your money. I went to the judge before. I saved State Road, CFCF, House Correction, D.C., thousands of dollars by virtue through my artwork. One judge said, how you do that? I said, I was painting murals throughout the whole jail at $1.50 a day. And murals that cost $1,600, $1,700 I could have charged.
Right.
But I got the publicity. I sold myself. I made the Daily News twice when Latoya Figueroa got killed. They brought the wardens of different jails, brought the father up to the jail and had me present the artwork to her by virtue of everybody on State Road. When Joe Frazier died, I just drew a picture of him because I boxed down Joe Frazier's all family all my life. Marvis Frazier's like a big brother to me. My mom used to go with Jimmy Young. So I'm surrounded by role models of boxers. And so I just said, I drew the picture and sent it to the Daily News. The Daily News put it in the paper, and then they added even better. They took my artwork down to Old City and started showing professional artists. The murals I've done in jail, they brought Jane Golden, representative from the Philadelphia Murals Program, to look at my artwork. And they were so amazed. They was like, where you go to school at? I said, I've never been to school. They said, wow, you self-taught? I said, yes, I'm self-taught. So my goal is to try to get stay hooked, plugged in with you, and get involved in some type of art program to help better enhance my skills.
Right.
It's like sky's the limit. It's like I'm a man on fire. If I knew then what I know now, some of the things I know now, it's like, and I know it's all by God's grace and mercy. I know it's all by my mother's prayers. I know it's all by me putting the effort to want to change in life. It's time to do something different so I can get better results.
Right.
You know, and that's my passion. That's my reason. You know, and I was just looking at some of the things that your program provides and the critical stuff, my involvement with the Wings program and the critical services that you provide that can make a difference.
Yeah.
Of staying out of prison or being reincarcerated over and over again. The transitional, housing placement you have, the job readiness trainingness, the job placement assessment, the driver's license restoration, GED certificate, life skills training, effective parenting workshop, vocational training, computer training, all the stuff that you provide that we as ex-offenders can take advantage of if we seek them out and search and do it and use it.
And I appreciate that.
And see, a lot of us as ex-offenders, like, and something else I love about what you stress, Joe Monzon, like, we being as ex-offenders, we literally beg society for a second chance. But we are some gifted people. We got the time to use our time in jail and put together a business plan. When I was upstate, I had a guy who didn't do nothing. His people was paying for him to go to college for business law, business accounting, communication. He didn't do nothing with the books. I had nothing else better to do but pick up the books and read it and got involved in it to where I had a mentor from the Small Business Administration. I put together 3 business plans that take 6 months to do on the street. I put them together. Went to Temple University, and they invited me to speak. when going in theaters and going in business for myself. So I have the knowledge, I have the capability, I have the ability, but I need the resources and to build a team.
Right.
My team, and like you have been my mentor, I mean, and helping me build my team. You're an example of what I want to become.
I just want to appreciate that, Eugene. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. We've been together, I know you, almost 4 years. We've been together now at Drexel University for multiple Saturdays, and I've been to your mom's home as well for your graduation, you know, from the other program you were in. And I know that your mother's been a tremendous influence on you spiritually, and you know, God bless her for the time she has put out to invest in you. And we're talking about the fruit right now, you know. And I just want to put in a quote here, you know, from Martin Luther King Jr., who said, "Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I am not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man." But God's will was important to him. It's important to me. It's important to you. In the Wings program, it's through and through the one thing that all of the Wings men need. And I know that you're doing a good job at lining up every day with what God says to do and not to do. And we have to grow into that manhood, that captainship. But again, your mom's been a great influence. You mentioned her. I wanted to get that in there because I know she's a beautiful, you know, influence on you. And,
yes,
you know, it's been, you know, very, very positive. But I think the program, the Wings program, actually has, you know, a lot to offer other people, you know, and I know what your, you know, connections and stuff will help many people, as we were there on Thursday night at Ready, Willing, and Able to touch about 75 men down there.
Right.
And, you know, they're doing great work there. But I just want to, you know, mention again, you know, you've made some changes, Eugene, in your life, you know, from hanging out on the corner to doing the cool thing to doing the right thing, you know, from 50 arrests to, 15 years in and out of jail. You know, I mean, your philosophies now today are quite different than what they were. You're 49. You're a graphic artist. You have a new circle, a new support team in your life. Before we get off the air, because we do have a second speaker coming up, Jason Martino, I want to give you a chance to just, you know, say thank you to some of the people who have been there right now, briefly, if you can.
Yes, I would do that very briefly. Thanks again. My first shout out would definitely go to God, because if it wasn't for God, none of this would be possible. And I have God to guide me in my footsteps every day. And it's funny, and I'm gonna say this real short, but I'm gonna leave that alone about my bike being stolen. But anyway, first and foremost, I want to give my shout to my mother. She's my biggest cheerleader. She's always been there in my life, no matter through the ups and downs. I stole her bragging rights. They say women love to brag about their children. She got her bragging rights back. And now she ain't got to worry about nobody telling they saw her son doing this or saw her son doing that. She know what her son is doing today. She's not losing sleep. My children's mother, Celestine Bowman, who had my daughters, Talia and Faith Bowman Whitaker. She never changed on me one bit. And she's very deep into the church and deep into the Lord. And we pray all the time. My sister, Tanya and Chantel Whitaker, who witnessed my transformation. Bill Gaines from a store called Just Business. He's in the process of helping me put together a business plan and start my own business. And Mikkel and Ina, at Miss Jessie's Stop and Shop at 909, South 12th Street. He allowed me to paint the side of his store and display my artwork. I'd like to thank him for that opportunity and like to grow with him business-wise. Especially Jeffrey Stubbs, from RWA, Really Willing and Able. Jeffrey Stubbs always talks about the Negatron, negative people in your life. How he can spot them a mile away. Miss Tosa, I like how she takes and put together like 15 men every morning, her organizing skills. That's what I want. Of course, Lou and Marcellus, who's trying to teach me how to get out of that financial matrix, they call it, and how to build wealth. They've been in my life and been to my home, and we're growing as friends. Especially Judge Ming, Jackie Fraser, and the late Lisa Brissett. George Thomas, Mike Battle, Rob Freak, and James Selkin, who are my treatment team at Cadenzia. They're all in my corner, especially my roommates, okay. Willing, Willing, and Able, who keep me laughing all the time. Miss Odessa Summers, Tyreek, and Cody from the Niches Program, thank you for your help and support. And Tim Williams, my friend, who's a police officer, keep your head up. Yolanda, Samara, and Tierra, my backbone and motivation for staying clean and sober today. I love y'all. Y'all keep your head up. And these people, I exalt these people, not because I know them, but I exalt them because they're worthy. And thank you for the time on the air. And thank you very much, Joe Montone, for giving me this opportunity and privilege.
You're welcome.
To inspire some experience, and hope.
You're very welcome, Eugene. God bless you. And, you know, definitely, you're a wingman. You know, you have made great strides, and we have a lot of work to do together in Philadelphia.
Yes.
But for the listeners out there, if you would like a professional artist to come and do something, you know, for you, this is the guy who can do it. I've seen his work. It is professional, and it is excellent. We actually put a plan together last Saturday, and he actually secured the job for a restaurant on the outside of a building, and within 3 hours of putting together the business plan, the actual proposal, it was accepted, and you know, he made it happen. So God bless you, Eugene. I'll be talking to you. I'll see you on Saturday at Drexel, and thanks so much for calling in today.
Okay, and you can go to my website and Facebook page, Eugene Sabaka Whitaker, and look at the art photos. And my website or email address is giftedmovement24@gmail.com.
Okay.
You can any address, okay? Thank you very much, Joe, and I'll see you this Saturday.
Very good. God bless. Take care, my friend. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Eugene Whitaker calling in to Finding God in Prison. You're listening to WISP Holy Spirit Radio and WCOJ. We're here at 1570 AM and 1420 AM. Thank you very much for calling in, Eugene. A real example of what can be done when you focus on the right things. Again, guy with more than 50 arrests, 15 years in prison, and is now moving on with his life. He's a graphic artist. He has a tremendous circle, including his mom, and excellent organizations, including the Wings program, who have helped him, as well as some judges who are in his corner. And so, you know, it takes a team, really, to help move forward from incarceration and addiction. With that, we have our second caller on the line, Jason Martino. Jason, are you with us?
I sure am. How are you doing today, Joe?
Hey, good morning, my friend. God bless. Thanks for calling in. How are you feeling today?
Feeling fantastic. God bless you as well. Good morning.
Thank you. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to call us. We were together on Tuesday with 13 other men down at the House of Adonai. Jason Martino started in the Wings program actually August 5th, 2014. He continued with the program at the House of Adonai, which is at 5031 Frankfurt Avenue, a recovery home for more than 32 men. He's also sometimes at Drexel University with us. And he's also been a speaker with us in his four high schools in Bucks County. He's done a phenomenal job at helping the young people to make great decisions. And so, Jason, we welcome you to Holy Spirit Radio. And if you can, give our listeners a little bit of your background on yourself, where you came through the early days in terms of your education, your work, and also your challenges with addiction.
Sure, absolutely. I was born and raised in Philadelphia. In the northeast section, on the edge of like Huntington Valley. Grew up a pretty normal childhood, and went to school. I was a national championship speed skater back in the 80s. Went through just normal school. Went to Temple University. Studied business management at Temple. I graduated in 1994 and had a pretty normal life through my my 20s and early 30s. I lived in Texas and in Virginia throughout, you know, at some points in my life, mostly through my jobs that had relocated me around the country. I was in restaurant management, and I also had worked in the mortgage business during the mortgage boom in the early 2000s. Started out as a recreational, just, you know, a drinker and a partier, I guess, through college and through high school, probably. Just like any other kid does throughout those years, and then slowly, you know, the addiction progressed. And didn't really realize, that it was progressing until, I crossed that line. I like to say that you don't know you're crossing it until you're already across it, and then all you wish you'd do is go back. In my mid 30s, my addiction really spun out of control. It took me to places, you know, that were very dark and not so friendly. It cost me my marriage, my home, my career. And you know, to sum it all up, at age 40, it took me to prison, you know, through doing some, some robberies, you know, to support my habits, literally things just completely, totally out of my character from the way I was raised. I wasn't, you know, a career criminal throughout my whole life. I said at 40, I had my first encounter and, hopefully last, with prison. It was a rough, long road, but you said you don't really see it coming until it's too late. You know, that's the sadness of addiction, is that, you know, we think we're just that normal person, you know, but some people just don't realize they're never going to be able to control that addiction. You know, so. But, you know, I mean, things are going extremely well now. I mean, I've been at, you know, part of the House of Adonai, part of the Wings program, and I'm trying to make a difference in giving back to the community, and hopefully, you know, that's why I enjoy speaking with the adolescents and the kids and stuff at the schools, because they're the most vulnerable. They don't really realize what they're getting into. They, you know, kids always think they have those superhuman powers, that they're, you know, they're invincible, and they don't realize that, you know, just having a couple drinks at age 15 or 16 years old, which is when I started, that, you know, it can wind up turning into a lifetime battle, that, you know, that could actually, you know, can take your life or take you to jail or,
yep.
Or, you know, to take the places that you really don't want to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, in jail was the first time I ever actually had an encounter, you know, with God. My cellmate introduced me to the Bible. I was, at that point, I was so broken. I was just, you know, literally trying to grasp on anything just to restore my mind to sanity. And, that was the beginning that I had listened. And then I was released from jail and, struggled with addiction until I came, you know, to the House of Adonai, which is a Christian recovery program here in Philadelphia. And that was where I was, I became saved by, you know, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then that's when the changes really started to feel better for me. You know, I'm currently going to be attending community college to finish a degree in behavioral health. My goal is to be an addictions counselor and to help, you know, to help people get through the struggles of addiction, you know, hopefully earlier in life than I did. And, you know, and stop wasting the years because, you know, we don't have much time on this planet. Things can, you know, we have to enjoy all the time that we're, you know, that we're here. And, you know, to make a difference, and hopefully, I said, just help people. That's my goal now, is just to help, you know, help people.
That's great, Jason, and I appreciate you, you know, going through, you know, that evolution. I want to take you back to the college days. You know, one of the things we have is, you know, we have literally millions of people in colleges today who are 18 to 22, and while you were in, you know, your university studies, you're engaged in curriculums, you're engaged in, you know, projects for the, courses you're studying. But what was the thing, you know, that, took you out of that zone and into the drug scene? What was it? Just, peer pressure, boredom, you know, trying something for the first time, you know, how did that, happen?
Yeah, I would say it was probably peer pressure. I mean, that's the best way. I don't know. I was a recreational drinker and cocaine user, snorting like powder cocaine for years. Someone introduced me in my mid-30s to how to freebase cocaine, and that was the destructive bomb that went off in my life. I mean, I literally, for my first hit of crack cocaine, my wife didn't see me for 9 straight weeks, literally, from one hit. It was like a nuclear bomb that went off in my life, and it spiraled out of control for the next, you know, almost 8 years, I guess you should say, before I was able to, you know, get things under control. I can't even say I got it under control. Jail got me under control because I couldn't stop. I probably would have been dead had I not gotten arrested. I always said I didn't get arrested. I got rescued.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blessing. My mother is the one that directed the police in my direction where I was at after one of the robberies I had done. And I said, that was the turning point. You know, I was always a hardcore partier, through college and whatnot. But I was a functional partier, you know. I mean, I was responsible. I went to work. I was a businessman. I managed for some of the biggest restaurant companies in the country, and I had, you know, I wrote it off because I had a normal life. I had a home. I was responsible. You know, I didn't think it was something that was out of control. And I didn't. I mean, looking back, I can see how far out of control I really was getting, even in college. and things just progressed and progressed more and more throughout, you know, throughout life. So, but, it's amazing that, you know, I'm not dead, because I should be dead for, you know, for all the drugs done in the past. You know, it's been a long road.
Yeah.
But, you know, I said, you don't realize in college on how, what you're really toying with. You know, until things get out of control. But that, by then, it's usually too late.
Yeah. Is there one decision in your life that stands out as being like a turning point for you, in which God really opened up your eyes to what you were doing?
God really opened up my eyes when I was in the back of that paddy wagon on my way to jail, when I was arrested that evening. That was when I came and say, I knew it at the time, but looking back, when I was driving to jail that evening, on October 30th, 2012, that was the evening I was arrested. Actually, it was mischief night. I was like thankful that it was over and that someone had saved me. You know, it's just, I don't know. At that time, I said I didn't even know it was God, but it definitely was God intervening, because at that point in time, all I wanted to do was die. And that was, you know, that was a turning point for me. And it slowed me down. Going to jail was actually the best thing to happen to me. It stopped me dead in my tracks, which is where I needed to be, to get my head together, get my thinking together, and to come out of jail with a plan, you know, to not make sure this ever happens again.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying it hasn't come with some trials and tribulations since I've been out of jail. I mean, I bumped my head twice as far as relapse and addiction, but I really truly believe that those feelings of hopelessness and whatnot are a thing of the past, and that, you know, I can really move forward and make a difference in my own life and other people's lives, you know, through the belief in God, and just that it, you know, it can be done, and have that self will and that power, you know.
That's
the strength
cool.
of the Lord is really moving in my life now, and that's where I'm at. The Holy Spirit is with me at all times.
That's wonderful, Jason, and I just want to, you know, reflect back on the fact that, you know, you began with the WINGS program August 5th, 2014. You've completed now actually 18 sessions. And although you've already been in the schools, you've been to four high schools as a motivational speaker, teaching decision making, helping young people to make good decisions, because you've been through those situations. You know what they are about to find out. And to help them to make that great decision. You have 18 sessions. On Tuesday, I will have a graduation certificate for you, because the key number is 18 to 20 sessions, and you've reached that. But I just want that's your graduation certificate in the WINGS program. But if you can you tell me how has the WINGS program helped to, you know, change your life, if at all, in any way?
Oh, without a doubt, it absolutely has. You've actually give me the opportunity to find in my life what I really want to do with my future. I mean, I knew I wanted to become some type of a counselor, you know, through going to school and through my own life experiences. But when I was reaching out with the kids, I definitely found the demographic that I want to work with. I mean, I think there's no better chance than maybe to make a difference in a child's life, than, you know, in the beginning stages of this, you know, this disease, if you want to call it. And that's, you know, I found that through the WINGS program. I said, you gave me the opportunity to go into the schools, which was fantastic. And then the feeling of having some of those kids, I mean, the first session we had, we actually had teachers and students crying. It was such a powerful, moving experience for myself and for the people who were listening. And then when the students wanted to speak to me one-on-one afterwards about, you know, a friend or a parent that was, you know, an addiction and how they can help them and whatnot, I knew I was moving to the area that I wanted to be in, and you gave me that opportunity. You know, the WINGS program is an excellent program for men who maybe aren't so organized or haven't really lived a normal life. I mean, I was blessed to where I'm able to find a job, and I'm pretty intelligent as far as like say resume writing and basic skills in life and stuff. But that helps a lot of the men who never had that. You know, but you gave me the opportunity to work in the schools, which is, you know, I definitely found the demographic in which I want to work with through the WINGS program.
That's great, Jason.
You know, and I've learned things too throughout the program that, you know, will benefit me in life, and having that balance that you so much talk about in the 168, you know, 168 hours in the week, that you have to have a balance of God and of family and work and, you know, community service and hobbies and, you know, and giving back. And, so that the way you lay it out, it makes it pretty simple and straightforward to, you know, that anybody can understand.
That's wonderful. I appreciate that. And, is it fair to say that, you have a new peace or greater peace than you ever had before, today? If you look back on the last, 10, 15 years, where you were and where you are today?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, even I said, looking back on my early years, I was always chasing something. It was never enough, whether it be work or money or careers or girls or whatever it was. I was always chasing. I was never satisfied with what I had. There was nothing. Everything was an addiction. I was addicted to everything. I never was satisfied. Like I said, with life. And now, I mean, I'm probably poorer than I've ever been. And I, you know, materialistic wise, I have, you know, virtually nothing, but, you know, spiritually, I'm where I need to be to build a normal, you know, hopefully peaceful life. You know, I'm at peace. I'm not chasing anything anymore. It's just I wake up happy, and that's all that matters. I realize that just waking up makes me happy, and not having to chase a drug or a drink, or, you know, or having to get that money to hopefully keep a roof over my head. You know, 'cause homelessness is one of my biggest fears, and you know, even though I'm homeless, I've never spent a night on the streets. I've gotten as far as a car, but never actually on a park bench, and I hope that I'll never get to that point.
Yeah. Is it fair to say that you absolutely loved drugs?
Do I absolutely love drugs?
No, you did in your...
I did, absolutely. Right. Yeah, without a doubt.
Right.
You know, they took me places, you know, that were, you know, out of this world, I guess you could say.
Right.
But the consequences that come with them, you know, are tremendous. They cost lives. They cost people families. Plus financial ruin. I mean, it's and, you know, ultimately freedom. I mean, it's a horrible life. I mean, it starts out as fun, but then, like I said, it spirals out of control, and it's usually too late when you realize you're out of control because you're already the addiction's you know well underway and got a grip on you. It's hard to get out of that grip.
Yeah,
it's hard to even realize you have a problem until, like I said, until the consequences start coming.
Absolutely. Okay, Jason. I just want to thank you for calling in today. You know, you're a personal friend of mine, and I want to thank you for being in the school program and doing a tremendous job at motivating the teens to make great decisions and to stay clear of, you know, the downfalls that we know are out there, sometimes fatalities. And so, you know, you're a great, you know, friend and a man of character and a Wings graduate now. I just want to, you know, say God bless you, and I'll be talking to you. I'll be seeing you again, but thanks so much for calling in to Holy Spirit Radio. It's been a privilege and a pleasure to have you with us this morning.
God bless you too, Joe, and thank Holy Spirit Radio for having me on, and God bless everybody out there who's listening. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason. Have a great day. God bless.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, my friends, you're listening to Jason Martino. We're here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Jason, you know, coming through years of addiction, now a speaker in the high schools teaching decision making, also enrolled in the Community College of Philadelphia and moving into a counseling career. And he's got the street smarts, but he now needs the textbook knowledge, and he's moving in that direction. The Wings program has helped him to do that, but he had to take action. My friends, our next guest is Officer John Yeager from the Falls Township Police Department. John, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am, Joe. How are you today?
Very good. Good morning, and thanks so much for taking the time out of your day, and I really appreciate that. And Officer Yeager's been working with us in the Wings program and opening the doors to many schools, and he has a real passion for the young people. And, John, I just want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about, you know, what we've done in the last 5 months, and also for the Youth Police Academy coming up this summer, which is another extension of your work. And so welcome, and thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you so much, Joe. My pleasure to be here. It was nice listening to Jason and Eugene also. Fortunately for myself, you and I were able to partner together with the Wingsmen to provide them an opportunity to come into schools and talk to students that I believe at this point are at risk, students that have taken steps towards... Hold on a second, Joe. Can I get with minute now?
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm sitting in my police van working, and I pulled over at this elementary school, and now I got a principal coming up to talk to me. What, like there's a problem? So sorry for that. So anyway, we targeted these schools in an effort to bring the message from your men to these students about choices and about consequences. And the idea is that by listening to people who have lived it and that have turned their life around, that it would be a positive influence on these young people if they listen. Now, it may not be that they do. It may be they don't catch it till 2 or 3 or 4 years from now. But by making the effort, I do believe that for the hour that we're in each class, those children, they are at the full attention of the speaker. They interact with the speaker with asking questions. They bring this message that you and I would not be able to bring. And so I really believe it's very helpful. The schools that we're in are very excited about continuing this program next year, and I have been to some other schools in an effort to maybe see if we can expand it in the fall. So the feedback is wonderful. The kids, when I see them in the hallways in the schools, they come up to me, they ask me all the time, when are you guys coming back in again? Who's your next speaker going to be? You know, so and not only that, the administration and the school district administration, they're behind us 100% because of, you know, the way this has worked out so wonderful for everyone. As far as the Youth Police Academy, this summer I'm going to run a Youth Police Academy in Falls Township, and I'm hoping to get 50 students, or we're going to call them cadets. It's going to run from 10 days. July 15th will be the start day, and the ending day is going to be July 30th. It'll be on a Wednesday, Thursday, then Monday through Thursday. I am going to give students who wish to have a career in law enforcement, EMS, the military, or fire safety, an opportunity to experience what a police academy is like. Three of my guys are going to be drill instructors. They're not going to break that role the entire time, so we will be yelling at kids, no different than it is in a police academy. We're going to give two written tests in there. We're going to have physical training every day. They're going to have to run a mile and a half the ninth day in order to graduate from this. It's going to be a very nice thing. It's going to teach them teamwork. It's going to teach them respect, discipline, all of the things that are required when you are in this public service kind of job. So I'm hoping to nurture young kids that want to pursue a career in one of these areas to come forward. I have, you know, a couple of guys from Philadelphia Police coming in to instruct the block of instruction. I have one of the Pennsylvania State Troopers is going to come in for me. I have a chief from Marshallboro who's going to come in. I have the dive team. I have a meeting on Monday morning with the deputy chief of Trenton Fire Department. I'm going to try to have their dive team come over and do one day in the pool. I also have a request out to Commissioner Ramsey in Philadelphia to have the Philadelphia Police dive team to come up and share in that pool experience with the kids. Now, I'm going to take the kids to Cooper Trauma Center one morning to go through the trauma tour, which is a very educational tour that is basically all about choices and consequences also. So it's going to be very action-packed for these kids. It'll be very structured, and if this is their career.
And that's a wonderful project, John. I look forward to, coming and being, you know, a little bit of a part of it to observe and support the project. I know the work that you've done, you know, in the township has been really evident. It's made an impact. I've seen the respect level that's there for you and for Lieutenant Whitney and Corporal Wolverton. And it's just a privilege to be part of you, part of the project and work with you on it. It's interesting, too, you know, the men who have called in today. Jason has been with us for all four schools, but Eugene is really next in line to join us as a speaker. And you know, we've had some wonderful speakers in the program, Nancy and Jeff Collins and some of the other people. And, you know, just a great project to be working on. I can see myself, my own vision for something like this is really in a countywide, statewide situation wherever we can. In fact, one of the judges asked me when I was speaking in court for one of our guys, and she said, why aren't you doing this in Philadelphia County? I said, well, with your help, Your Honor, we will be doing that. And because right. there's such a great need there, John, and, you know, wherever there's a need, we have to satisfy that need, or a void, we have to fill it. You know, we, by the way, we only have another couple of two minutes left in the show. And so I want to just thank you for taking the time to call us on and be part of the program this morning, John.
Hey, thank you very much, Joe. Anytime. And it's a great partnership that we have, and hopefully this continues to grow. Hopefully, you know, as more men that are in the Wings program hear about it, they can become excited and want to be part of this also. Like you and I are both excited in an effort to try and impact young people to live their life the right way and to make a difference in society. We're all in this fight together, and as long as we lean on each other, we'll be fine. So again, Joe, thank you very much, and you have yourself a wonderful weekend. I'll be seeing you soon.
Very good. Take care, John. God bless. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
My friends, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio. This is Finding God in Prison. We were talking with Officer John Yeager from the Falls Township Police Department, who's really made an impact, making a difference in the lives of many teens. We only have another minute to go on our show. I want to remind you that we have an upcoming pilgrimage to the Eternal Word Television Network, Monday through Thursday, August 17th to the 20th, 2015. Please give us a call if you're interested. That's Monday through Thursday, August 17th to the 20th, the EWTN Network, and we'll be going to Hansville in Irondale, Alabama. That's 215-345-1570. 215-345-1570. I want to thank Eugene Whitaker and Jason Martino and Officer John Yeager for calling in this morning and being part of Finding God in Prison. And my friends, thank you for listening to us today. It's been a privilege and a pleasure to be with you back on the air. My name is Joe Montone, your host. I want to take another moment to thank Kathy, Dale, and Jane and the Charitable Exchange for being there for us financially and supporting us. May God bless you, and, you know, again, we'll be back with you in the future in our next broadcast, but for now, have a great day, and all the best. God bless.
I saw my Lord this morning in the morning sunrise. Its golden glow came creeping and lighting up the world as it lay asleep.